We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to another episode of Proof to Product. Today, I'm talking with TSBC alum Zoe Scharf. She's the co-founder and chief brand officer at Greetable, a personal and easy way to make your friends feel super loved. If you guys are not familiar with Greetable, you should be. It is an impressive gifting service where you choose your packaging, your gift, your personalized message, and then they take care of the rest, taking it from online and getting it into the hands of your recipient. Greetable has delivered 200,000 happy moments and is continuing to quickly grow. On today's episode, Zoe shares how they unsuccessfully chased wholesale, how they struggled with figuring out who their audience was, and how impactful finding their fulfillment partner was to the flow of their business and to the workflow of their business. We also spent a good amount of time talking about how Greetable sought funding from angel investors. This is not a topic that we frequently talk about in our industry, so I was pretty captivated by the story that Zoe was telling me. They achieved three rounds of funding. The first was for $50,000, then $750,000, and most recently, $1.5 million. And we talked about how the process of pitching yourself and seeking funding worked, what they did with the money to grow their business. And she shared some resources for those of you that may be interested in learning more about how angel funding works. Enjoy. Hey, Zoe. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, Katie. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I've really admired your business and have been watching it grow since you attended Paper Camp, our e-course, in 2014. And I remember watching you guys and going, how is this going to work? Like from a logistical standpoint, and not in a doubtful way, but mostly just a curiosity
way.
I was
wondering the same thing at that time.
Well, I'm so excited because so much has happened since we last were connected. And so I'd love for you to tell your story here because there's so much power in it. So let's start off at the beginning. How did you and your business partner come up with the idea for Greetable?
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. My co-founder, his name is Joe. He's this awesome guy, super business savvy, ex Wall Street, ex Goldman Sachs, really like finance driven dude. He was like raising up really quickly in the ranks of Wall Street and quit in the middle of his like peak basically, because he was like, I need to either be traveling the world or starting a company.
Wow.
And so he quit. He traveled for a year. He hiked Kilimanjaro. He opened up a Soho house in Mumbai. Like, he has this crazy story. He doesn't ever talk about it. He doesn't think it's cool. I think it's insane.
I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open. Like, that's amazing. That's a story that he's been told.
I know. I like, when I met him, I was like, I don't understand you. You are so impressive. But he came back to St. Louis after he was done with all these travels. He's actually from like a farm outside St. Louis, and he was going to a bunch of weddings. And one of the things that he had realized while he was traveling was that he cares so much about connections, right? The people that you care about, there's nothing that makes you appreciate them more than being across the world from them and realizing that you're in a country where no one knows your name and all that stuff. So as he was going to these weddings, he was thinking so intentionally about the messages that he was writing on the greeting cards that he was giving, because he was like, this is the most important message I'll ever give you. And it's at this wedding going to get lost in the sea of envelopes. And he was like, what if I could create a greeting card that folded up into a gift, and it was more of a present, because people love opening up, like tearing at the wrapping paper and opening up a present. So that was sort of the baby version, like the great, great, great granddaughter of the product that we have today. He started messing around with cereal boxes and stuff, like inside out cereal boxes, making like these little prototypes. And he knew he was going to need a graphic designer. And my background is in graphic design. I'm originally from the East Coast, but I had moved to St. Louis to go to college to study art at Washington University in St. Louis. And I had just graduated. I'd worked at an agency for a little while, and I was freelancing as a graphic designer. And some friends introduced us. And I also had a background in letterpress. One of my best mentors let me touch her letterpress frequently. Like, she's awesome. Amy Thompson, if you're listening. And I just loved the idea for the product, because it was such a match for like I have a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit, and I was freelancing. I was starting my own like freelance business, but I also loved stationery, loved paper. And I was like, this is so up my alley. So that's how we started working on it way back in 2012.
That's amazing. So let's talk about the business journey, because your business model, I'm trying to combine words here. Your business model has shifted quite a bit over the years, and you've tried different things. And when they didn't work, you pivoted and tried something else. So let's start at the beginning in 2012. You're kind of beta testing things. And then what happened in 2013? What were you doing then?
Yeah. So we were throwing stuff against the wall, trying to see what stuck. We really had a wholesale model in our minds for a long time. And we were, we went to the National Stationery Show. Mm-hmm. Our friend Brad from Imaginating let us like take over a little corner of his booth with this collaboration we did with him. But yeah, he's great. We had this product that like, it came in a cellophane bag. It looked like a greeting card, but it looked like a weird mutant greeting card. And it wasn't, it just looked weird. But you know, we were trying it, we were pushing it really hard. And the idea was that you would buy it in the store, you would fold it up, you would find a gift that goes inside. The recommended thing was like a gift card, right? Cause it fit a gift card with like some chocolates or something. And then you'd have to figure out how to wrap it in packing paper and ship it to your recipient directly. And it was so much work. Every time that I would bring it to the post office, they would look at me with a crazy look and be like, am I supposed to mail this thing for you? Like, it's like a 2.5-inch box. We don't mail things this small. And no. So like, I literally got mixed reviews on if we were even allowed to mail them for a while. It was a whole big whatever. So it wasn't selling, if I'm being totally honest. We were barely making any sales. We were killing ourselves to get retailers to carry our product, and we were getting very few reorders. I mean, it was rough.
Let me pause you right there. I feel like earlier when we chatted before this, you said you were chasing wholesale during this time. And I do feel like your product is a complicated one to show a buyer, because as you mentioned, there's all these steps. You know, what they're seeing as the finished product is this unfolded box that they then all the pieces they have to put together. And I see how it's challenging. I mean, I will say too, wholesale, like, buyers need simplicity, and they need like to really clearly understand. If you have to understand the product, if you have to explain things too much, they're like, I'm out, just because they've got too much other things to deal with. So you were having a tough time with wholesale. You guys weren't really seeing much success or traction there. What was kind of the ultimate reason or tipping point to change that, like to move to a different way?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it came to a certain point where it was just, we are very driven, very goal oriented, and we knew we were going to make it work, and we knew we weren't going to make it work with the plan that we had. So we started to get feedback from some people. We sent out surveys and whatnot. And what we learned was what we kind of already had suspected, which was that it was just too complicated. It was too tricky for people to figure out. But we did find a couple of tidbits of kind of trends that people liked. So we have been actually doing like a bunch of different collaborations. So at the time we were working like within a couple months of each other, we did a collaboration with Mary Engelbright.
Oh, wow.
Who is awesome. She's based in St. Louis. She's super, super nice. Her following is obviously like older women, not older, I shouldn't, but like in their like 60s, I want to say, like, is typically the kind of people who know about Mary Engelbright. But we were also working with like this hip letterpress studio in Orlando. Well, Mama Sauce.
We love Mama Sauce. Yep.
Yeah. And we also worked with like a local really cool donut company in St. Louis called Strange Donuts. And they were all so scattered and all over the place. And we just started to figure out like, we can't talk to everyone. We have to talk to one audience, and otherwise no one will ever want to hear what we have to say, because we have no identity. So we got a little bit more specific about, okay, I think the audience that seems to resonate with this product the most is young tech savvy women who don't have a lot of time to invest in a 2-hour scrapbook, and also have occasions where they need something a bit more than a greeting card, like their best friend got a new job or their sister had a bad day. And greeting cards, like I said, are my history. So I love them. But there are certain times where you want something a little bit more. And the alternative is like $50 flowers or browsing the internet endlessly looking for something. And it takes so long. So we really wanted to help those women fill what we call the gifting gap, that like $15 to $30 price point where you want something that's really personal, really beautiful, and not going to break your bank. So that was the goal. And then we, 2015, spent like, I don't know, a couple months, more than a couple, 6 months, I'm not sure, just totally revamping everything. We brought on an agency that helped us with our design. We started working with developers, custom built the website with this Polish dev team that we managed for, they're awesome. They're great. And we started bringing in a, there happened to be a local manufacturing company that we work with that prints everything on these just incredible Indigo printers. And everything is variable data. So everyone can have their own personal pictures as opposed to like the bulk printing that we were doing offset before. Yeah. So, I mean, we really just kind of narrowed it down on, okay, let's remove all difficulty, make it as easy as possible, make it as beautiful as possible, and make it as personalized as possible, and curate everything for everybody. And honestly, like the site that we launched at the end of 2015, it was October, is not that different from the site that you see today. The only thing that's changed in the last 2.5 years is like us getting the word out and marketing to people. But once we had that product, we were like, I think we're onto something with this version of the product. Let's push it as far as we can.
Shifting to retail, I feel like was a big aha moment for you guys, just because you could eliminate some of the step-by-steps because the consumer didn't need to worry about, you know, actually folding the box and filling the box and mailing the box because you do all of that for them now, right? So they go to your website. Walk us through your website. Right. People come to your website and what's the first step that they do?
Yeah. Okay, great. So the first thing they choose is the design. So similar to like Minted or, you know, Paperless Post, that kind of thing, you choose the design that matches your occasion. We work with illustrators all over the world, which is my dream because I'm a graphic designer and it was like the best thing ever to be able to reach out to these hero designers. So they choose their design, then they choose a gift to pair with it. And we have mostly gifts that range from like $3 to $30. So nothing that's going to be too, like, you're not going to buy a watch. It's more like experiences, like champagne gummy bears or a candle, like fun little kind of consumable things. And then you get to the really unique part, which is the, what we call the builder. So the personalization part of things where you'll add your own custom photos to the panels of the box. And for people who don't know what Greetable is, it's like a greeting card that you customize with your photos and a message, and then it folds up to become this gift box. So the inside is customized with your own message and photos, and then the outside is, and parts of the inside will have the design that you selected. So that step is what happens next. You'll customize it with all of your own stuff, connect to Instagram and, you know, your phone or computer. And then you just tell us where you want it to go. You just give us the address and you can check out with as many as you want and assign each of them a different shipping address. And from there, we have some kind of fancy tech work that will send, it automatically generates a PDF, sends it to our manufacturing facility. Within one day, they'll print it and die cut it. And then the following day, they'll ship it out. They'll assemble it with the gift and then ship it out to the recipient. So we have a 2 business day turnaround time.
Nice. Was there any point in time where you guys were actually manufacturing and folding and stuffing and mailing all these things yourselves?
Yes. Yes. So I like have blocked this period of time out of my memory in some ways. But like, so the whole big thing that I was telling you about, like the big relaunch in 2015, that had to be done digitally with printers and stuff. So ever since then, it's been through our manufacturing facility. But in between the wholesale and this version of the product, we tested it out with a version that we called Send For You, where we literally just took the stuff that we were wholesaling, let people submit a message to us on Shopify, and I hand wrote it in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we actually had like a handful of gifts that were not quite as curated and a little kitschier than what we sell now. Like, we literally sold rocks, and the rock came with a little thing that said "You rock" on it, like a cute little tag. And the rocks were sourced from like my driveway. Like,
oh my god!
I've totally forgotten about this. Oh my god! But yeah, I mean, and some things were more legit, like chocolates from cool companies and stuff like that. Right. But yeah, I mean, we were assembling it all and sending it for people just to kind of prove that this might be something that people wanted before we really like launched it officially.
Right. Proof of concept. The other thing is too, like actually outsourcing all that to a fulfillment warehouse or to a print partner, that's a big commitment. Usually the print house wants to know that you're going to do a certain volume. Yeah. How do you mind talking about that process of finding a partner to do that with and how you landed on the one you're working with?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually got connected to our account rep for our manufacturing facility through something so random. I mentioned earlier, we collaborated with a donut company in St. Louis.
Yep.
And that donut company happened to know this guy named Sean. And Sean had this was a, you know, rep, account rep at this, R.R. Donnelly, it's an R.R. Donnelly company, which is a huge manufacturing and printing and fulfillment center. Mm-hmm. They're all over the world, but there just happens to be one location in St. Louis.
Interesting.
And they're really tech savvy and they are kind of always onto the next thing. And again, this was like 2014 that we connected, and he was trying to sell me on augmented reality. Virtual reality. I always forget. Yeah, it must be virtual.
It's okay.
Anyway, where like someone could take their phone and scan it over our card and then it would play an instructional video.
Oh, yes, yes. I remember you guys talking about that at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, we were like intrigued. We were like, I don't really know if we can get people to download an app before they even buy the product. Mm-hmm. That might be a little far-fetched. So we didn't really pursue that, but we did talk about how they're a printing house. They have all this ability to custom print variable data and all this stuff. So we decided to take a chance on them. But as you mentioned, they were taking a chance on us. And the quantity at first was very small. Like the first month, we probably did like 200 or 300 units mm-hmm. all month. And then since then, I mean, we can talk about marketing, but we got better at marketing, and they've invested in a handful of startups, and they've seen a lot of them not grow and never succeed and like kind of fail and fall by the wayside, which is obviously a bummer. But I think that they just have started to recognize like we invest and it's literally like we expect probably 80% of them to not go anywhere. Yeah. And when we did start having success, like, oh man, in 2016, when we hit like 10,000 units, they brought us a carrot cake.
Oh, that's so sweet.
When we hit 100,000 units, they bought a whole like gift basket with like chocolates and stuff. Like, I don't even remember what it was, but they've always like been better at us than recognizing our goals because they're so sweet and they're so proud of us and they're just like the best.
It sounds like almost as much as they're a fulfillment and manufacturing warehouse to help support you in fulfilling your stuff, they're also mentors to you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, they know so much about printing and about manufacturing, and they really guided us into the place that we're at now. They're just good people, you know.
Yeah,
so it's always good to work with good people who they're like 10 minutes down the street from us here in St. Louis. So it feels good, but they definitely took a chance on us, and we're thrilled to be working with them.
It sounds like a really great partnership and pairing there.
So actually, this is not even at all like something that you want to hear about, but today is my co-founder's pre-birthday. His birthday is on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And the manufacturing facility, he's obsessed with Arrested Development. So our manufacturing facility helped us with printing a 7-foot-tall banana stand. And we all stood in it when he walked in the room and gave him frozen bananas, like straight out of Arrested Development. And he died. Like, it's just those little things that they do to like be great partners.
Oh, that's fun. That's funny.
Yeah. It was crazy.
So on one hand, you have a retail business that's serving the end consumer, but you're also a buyer now, and you're purchasing items from other creatives, some from our own community too, to put into your boxes. So how do you decide what to purchase and what kind of items to include? And do you have any requirement? Like, do you try to source from other small manufacturers, or what's your plan there?
Yeah, definitely. So we learned a lot about what people wanted in Greetable. When we launched, we only had 12 gifts, and the number one request was get more gifts. Now we have like, I don't know, 80 to 100 or so, but it's, you know, still people want more gifts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we learned early on was that people wanted things, like we mentioned that gifting gap, and people really want those experiences. People are looking, like people love candies, they love candles, they love anything that has an inherent sentiment attached to it. So like, one of my favorite stories is one of our vendors is called Big Heart Tea Co. And the founder is this woman, Lisa, who I've known for years. She lives here in St. Louis and we're just friends, and she is just awesome. But she sells these tea satchels. That was a tongue twister there. That they say on them like cup of love or cup of sunshine. And if those satchels didn't say cup of love or cup of sunshine on them, I don't think they would sell nearly as well as they do, because people send them to someone who's had a bad day or who needs a little pick-me-up or who just, it's Valentine's Day or whatever it is, because those sentiments really help. But becoming a buyer was such a shift. You mentioned earlier, like, buyers are always looking for things that are simple and not too complicated. And I was on the other side of that. And now I'm on this side. And you're right. Like, things that are too hard to explain, we can't usually accommodate that because there's too much, you know, we need things to be as simple as possible. We need things to literally fit in the box.
Like, I was going to say, you've got spatial considerations too.
Yeah. I walked around New York now last year with a 3-inch box. No one had heard of Greetable. I was alone. Nobody took me seriously. Like, maybe this is my own perception, but like, as a woman in my late 20s who was walking around with this tiny little box with a
trying to fit things in the box, see what fits, literally.
I think people were like, who are you? Like, but yeah, I mean, fitting things in the box is tough. There's always something that's like 4 inches. And I'm like, I love this. But like, one of my friends, Stephanie, she's the founder of Pinch Provisions, and we love the mini emergency kits, and we're trying so hard to work together to find something that fits in there. But the packaging is just like ever so slightly too big. So it's a constant frustration, but that's something we consider. And then of course, like shelf life, since we deal with a lot of candy.
Yeah.
And we love working with makers. Oh, this is what I was going to say. So Big Heart Tea Co., when we first started working with her, we bought like, you know, 100 every couple months, honestly. And I don't know how many we're buying because I haven't been the buyer for a little while, but we buy a lot of tea from them now. And this is going to sound braggy, and I hate to be braggy, but because we've ended up buying so much from them, and she's told me this, it's like they have grown a ton as a business, like exponentially. And they are now like in all of these big retail stores. More people have heard of them. They sell at Alfred Coffee. And they're like, we had the ability to go out and do these things and chase these bigger accounts and like get more brand visibility because we had these consistent orders coming in from you. And it was just like so heartwarming. And it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes we like, I think these socks are going to be a huge hit and they kind of flop. And it's such a bummer because I really want this vendor to get our business. But when it does work, it's like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Because we do work with mostly like makers and like local. We're actually doing something for Women's History Month in March. And they like, we're working with all of our female vendors, and we're like 86% female partners that we work with.
That's amazing.
So we love these makers and like empowering them and helping them as much as we can because we were and are in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you get warm fuzzies on both ends. Like you get to see that the people that are receiving your gifts and your Greetables and it's making a difference in their lives, and you're seeing people connecting through Greetable, but then you also get to support other small businesses through your purchasing, which I think is phenomenal. So
it's definitely a happy feel good thing.
Yeah, definitely. So I read on your bio that you have delivered more than 200,000 happy moments at this point, which is just, it is so impressive. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
But fun question for you. What's the number one requested product inside? I know you mentioned like, you know, sentiments and moment type stuff, you know, more of the warm heartfelt stuff. Words are hard today, man. Heartfelt stuff. But like, what's the number one product that's requested?
Yeah. Well, out of our existing gifts and then like new requests that we get all the time. So out of our existing gifts, people love alcohol flavored things. They love our champagne gummy bears. And honestly, like Sugarfina has lots of stuff like that. So we sell lots of Sugarfina stuff. People I've loved, You've Got This socks do great for us, or You Got This socks. People love to send those. The satchels, the tea satchels, people love those. Loose Confetti is one of our best sellers, which is hilarious because I feel like it's one of those like, it's a prank, kind of, but it's like a party prank. It's like cute because like, you know, loose confetti gets everywhere, but like,
oh, yeah,
it's not glitter. It's just like a cute little like party in a box.
Those all sound amazing. It was also fun for me to peruse your website and see all the different gift options because you do sell quite a few of our alums too. So it was fun to see those different packages.
Yeah. I mean, like I want to do even more, you know. I love working with people like all of the Trade Show Bootcamp alums and all of the stationery world and the gifting world. Like, the more connections we can make and the more we can be involved with companies, the happier I personally feel.
I feel the same. So you have a lot of moving pieces on your team. It sounds like, you know, you've got different teams for different things. So let's kind of take a look at your org chart. What does your team look like? What are the roles and responsibilities? And
yeah,
when did you start bringing people on?
So 2 years ago, we hired our first employee, Macklin. It was just his 2-year anniversary the other day. And he's sort of a jack of all trades for us. He's been doing he's done every single thing for us. But now he's doing corporate sales. We've gotten a lot more into like kind of helping companies and mm-hmm. wedding photographers and who not, to help with their clients. So he's doing that now, but we mostly started hiring people after we fundraised last summer. We raised $1.5 million and that enabled us to,
yes. Wow. That's fantastic.
It was cool. I mean, I like, if I had said this to myself, I don't know, 5 years ago, I'd be like, nope, not me. You're talking about somebody else. Cause like, I went to art school and I don't know much about fundraising and yeah. I've learned a lot. I mean, we've gone through a couple of different fundraising rounds now and that was obviously the biggest one, but it enabled us to bring on a bunch of employees. So we're 11 people now. We are moving towards doing all of our marketing in-house, which is sort of a big deal. And that's one of the big mm-hmm. things that we focus on. And we're actually like probably going to bring on one or so more people to help us with that. But we have content in-house. So we have a community lead who focuses mostly on social and influencers. We have a content lead who does all of our email marketing from a campaign perspective and a lot of our blog stuff and kind of email sweepstakes. We have a customer happiness person, Paige. She's been with us for a long time too. And then we have a lot of operational and finance roles. So we have a director of operations who coordinates everything with our manufacturing facility. Mm-hmm. We just brought on a merchandising manager who now is our buyer. So she took over from me from buying all of the products and deciding all of the designs and stuff. And we have two corporate sales reps and a VP tech who now manages all of our developers in Poland. And oh my gosh, I'm forgetting somebody.
Okay. I'm impressed. And I like want to dig a little bit more on this fundraising because I didn't realize I for some reason totally missed that. And this brings up a couple of different things in my mind of like how having the funds and being able to invest in your business can really expand your growth and fast forward it, which is clear because listening to you talk about all these different team members, you guys have expanded very quickly and yeah. you know, you've built some incredible systems. What was your process for fundraising? How did you do it? And what was your goal behind it? I mean, did you have a financial goal around it? And then did you know exactly what you wanted to leverage that money for?
Yeah. So, this is something that I've learned a lot about recently. I mean, in the last 4 years or so, mm-hmm. but my co-founder is pretty well versed in the finance world, obviously. And when it comes to fundraising, the way that we sort of dug into the community of investors in the local St. Louis area was that Joe is a very good resource from a financial perspective for investors when it comes to, okay, so there's a group called, there are lots of angel groups out there, right? Angel investor groups. And there's one locally called Billiken Angel Network.
Okay.
And Joe helped them out as what they call a fellow. So if you know a lot about companies and you're able to help out with due diligence, meaning like vetting the companies that come through and making sure that they actually are good for what they say they're good for, mm-hmm. then a lot of the investors don't have time or the energy or like they're busy with their other stuff and they don't actually do that on their own. So they'll bring in fellows like Joe to do that for them. And in exchange, they get to be around all these investors and learn a lot and make connections. And that's what Joe did initially when he got back from living in the UK and all over the place. So he made connections through that. And those were our initial investors. And we've actually gone through 3 fundraising rounds. One was a smaller friends and family round in 2013. One was kind of a seed round in 2015. When we launched the site, and that was sort of based on like, we're relaunching things based on all of this data that we've gathered. We don't mm-hmm. know if it's going to work yet, but we really think it will. And that was, we did 750,000 then. And wow. then when we got some success and we were like, look, over the past year, we've done all this stuff and we really think that it can go somewhere. All we need is to be able to press on the gas. That's when we raised the $1.5 million last year. So mm-hmm. it's all mostly local St. Louis investors. And there's a couple of odd ones here and there who, you know, we were part of a accelerator program locally called Capital Innovators. And some of our investors come from that. But it's really just getting involved in the local startup scene. We've talked to venture capitalists before. And like, lots of VCs have lots of requirements for where you need to be. And we had really great conversations. And I think it's a potential in the future that we'll work with a lot of VCs, but where we were at right now, it made sense to mostly work with angel investors. So that was the path that we took. But
what kind of pitch packets did you have to put forth in front? Like you had to state your case, right? Yeah. Like you had to tell them, here's what our plans are. Here's what we want to use the money for. So what did you have to provide to these angel investors to get them interested? And what was that process like?
So the most effective way to do things was to work with angel groups, because that's when you talk to like anywhere from 10 to 50 angel investors at once. And oftentimes they'll make a decision as a group to invest or not invest because they feel like there's more power if 15 of us go in on something together than one of us here and there. Mm-hmm. And so we would submit to these angel groups through however their websites and their, you know, platforms needed. If we had a warm lead, we'd always milk that warm lead. And usually because it was local, we did. It was always tough because I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot of e-commerce retail in our space in St. Louis. And it was like most of our investors are not used to us. And they say things like, we don't invest in the horse, we invest in the jockey. So they don't like a lot of our investors are men, are 60 or above. This is just not their product. You know what I mean? This is not what they are used to. And so they had to be convinced by Joe and myself. And also they had to see proof in the pudding and see the numbers and make sure that, you know, once we had something to present them, it made sense. So usually it included either a warm lead or submitting through their website. And then there's typically some sort of like a pitch, and you would bring a deck with you. There are, I mean, millions of resources out there on what decks look like. And everyone has their own opinion about what best standards are. And there's usually some consensus about you need a slide to represent market, and you need a slide to represent, you know, potential exit strategies, and you need a slide to represent all of this other stuff. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, you're just trying to tell a story.
Right.
It doesn't really matter if you follow a particular pitch format or whatever. I think we learned that over time is just captivate them. If they don't understand what e-commerce is, if they have no idea what the gifting space looks like, you have to inform them. That's up to you. They're just used to talking about agricultural technology or like medical biotech, and we don't know about that. So all we have to do is just tell a story that's clear, concise, and understandable. And if we can be as enthused and energetic and passionate about this project as we are on a daily basis and just let that be contagious and spread to them, then they might be interested. We've heard lots of no's too, lots of no's. So, you know, it takes persistence. It's like, weirdly, it was a little easier than chasing retail stores, but still tough. It's like not that different in theory, you know, it's selling yourself.
So, and this might be a little too personal. So if so, tell me, don't want to answer that, but like, these angel investors, they decide to, yes, we want to support you, we want to go forward. Are you giving them a percentage of ownership in your company? Are you working on a pay schedule to pay them back? Or are they just expecting you don't have to pay them back? Like, how does that work from there?
Yeah, so typically what we do is there's usually like a lead investor, and that lead investor will be the one who sets the valuation for everybody else. So, and the lead investor is also typically like the first one in and makes the biggest investment. So let's say like at our last round, the lead investor put in $500,000. So they were the biggest player in the game,
right?
But they also set the valuation, and we negotiated with them to say, okay, we think your valuation is X percent, X dollars. And we think our value, and then we go back and forth like, no, based on our sales last year or based on this, our valuation is actually this. And then once we reach a consensus, then the valuation is set. And every dollar after that is set at that same valuation. So everyone just owns a piece of the pie, basically.
Okay.
And that pie will change in valuation as we continue to become more valuable.
Right.
But as we include more investors in the equation, then everyone's pie slice gets smaller. But everyone's in theory okay with their pie slice getting smaller if the company is also worth a lot more.
Yeah. Right. The pie keeps getting bigger even if your slice is smaller still.
Exactly.
This is fascinating to me because there's not a lot of companies within our industry that have, one, sought financing, or that have, two, received financing, or I guess three, if they have, they haven't really talked about it very much.
Yeah.
You know, most of us, like your first round of talking to friends and family or being self-funded ourselves, that's how most people in our community, the bootcamp community, have grown their businesses. But I will say, I've been watching you guys, and I was like, gosh, how, I didn't realize you had the funding. And I'm like, how are they doing this? And I'm so pleased to hear that you did get the funding, because you took a really great concept and you've you've just done such amazing things with it, and you've made this product into something that is spreading joy. It's making an impact, and it's making you guys happy. And now you've built this like empire along the way. And well, I like the word.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's so interesting because back when we were going to the National Stationery Show, I remember feeling like we had this weird identity crisis where it's like, we are a stationery company, we are a gifting company, but we're also a startup. And there's definitely like a different mentality, and we live in lots of worlds. But then also like when we're in the startup community and we go to startup events here, we're the only ones that like deal with paper and gifting. And like people are like, eh, what are you up to? Like, I don't really get it. So it's like we're, you know, Venn diagramming this situation right now where we're in the middle of like gifting and startup. But I will say like, it's possible to do it without funding, but it takes so much longer, and it'd be a completely different process because we were able to push marketing in a really big way. And honestly, what we were able to do was just grow quickly. And that's what we told our investors that we wanted to do, because our product is very unique. If it sees as much success as we want it to, there are going to be other people out there that try to do the same exact thing. And it's just up to us to do the best job fastest. And we need to just get there soon and take up as much of the market share as we can and just be a brand, honestly, that people feel like they love. Like, I always say that brands that are successful feel like they're your friends. And if they were to fall tomorrow and just go under, you'd be like, I miss my friend. And we need to be that to people if we want to be a successful business for many reasons. Not the least is like, you know, having loyal customers, but also like, for me being fulfilled, for feeling comfortable with what we're doing. And then also just, you know, from the perspective of like success, like that's how we will beat the alternatives in the future is because people just feel like they love us, and they like, we continue to grow. We continue to be what they want us to be. We listen to them, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just really important. So funding enabled us to kind of do that because our idea is so unique and educational and requires that extra sort of push.
It does. But I want to give you kudos again because two reasons. One, I think the fact that you have this partner that is savvy on the financing and world, like that's hugely helpful. And then, you know, the graphic design creative world. So it feels like a very complimentary partnership. But the other thing is, there are not a lot of companies in our space that are seeking funding. And I hope that they're listening and maybe they're empowered to maybe perhaps seek it out a little bit more. Or another thing, you know, and this isn't a man-woman thing, but I also feel like there need to be more women entrepreneurs that have kind of sort of made it and that are supporting the people below them, even if it's just small angel funding that can help somebody else. You know, like I feel like I'm going on a tangent here, so bear with me.
I'm loving this tangent. I'm with you.
But, you know, I was in the corporate world for a long time in the legal industry, and you would see, and it's not the finance world, but I dealt with the finance world quite a bit, and you would see men investing in other men. You would see men investing in other companies that were led by men. And we need more of that on the female side. We need more women investing in more women's businesses. And, you know, we can invest in men's businesses too. I love you guys out there. But I'm just saying, like, I really feel strongly that, you know, it's such a hard path to build these businesses and to make them successful. And we really need to be pouring into the people that are coming behind us and trying to lift them up in terms of education support, but also financially if we can. So I would love to, I mean, I don't know if those programs are out there already, but if so, I'm totally intrigued to look them up now. But
Yeah. There's some stuff out there. And obviously, like, it's hard for a female entrepreneur in so many ways. And there are so many things going against us. There are some resources that are starting to pop up, and it's helpful, like different angel groups that only invest in women or VCs that only invest in women. And that's great. When you don't get them or when you do get them, they either help or they don't help. But there's like, you're really singing my song here, because I feel very strongly about the fact that, like I mentioned before, I do have an entrepreneurial spirit, but I was perfectly content to be a graphic design studio designer my whole life. And that's 100% a career that could have made me very happy. Like, I would have been perfectly happy being a designer my whole life. I knew I wanted to be a designer since I was in high school. And I have no doubt that that would have made me happy. That said, because I don't want to shame people who choose that path, because it's 100%. Like, amazing. That said, I think if I had known that being an entrepreneur was an option, it might have been more intriguing to me without it having fallen in my lap the way that it did. Because mm-hmm. one thing that I think about is like, this product is so like, I do in many ways feel like this is my dream job. I get to do something interesting and unique, and I get to build this product from scratch. And it's not so different from what a lot of your alums and your, you know, the trade show bootcamp businesses are doing. It's also not so different from what graphic designers who are freelancing out there or anything are doing. But you have this unique ability as a designer and as a creative problem solver to tackle problems differently. Mm-hmm. And in some weird way, you're at an advantage not knowing how things are supposed to work, because how things are supposed to work is not always how you actually think differently and get creative totally. And like actually try stuff that's out of the box. So yeah. I feel very strongly that designers and women just need some more examples to know that it's possible for them to do this stuff. And then when it comes to the financing side of things, I really think like it's a whole other language. Like I had to jump in a way that was shocking to me at first. Like it's literally like learning Polish. I had to start, and it's a challenge because you're like, you feel stupid. You know, I went to a couple of investor meetings on my own because I live in Chicago part of the time. And when I would meet with different VCs because I was in Chicago and Joe wasn't with me, I would have to, you know, rise to the occasion and get over the fact that I went to art school and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I went to art school. Yeah, this isn't my background, but like, I learned this. I know how to talk about all of our marketing techniques. I know how to talk about our business strategy. I know how to talk about our operations, everything. Like, I built it. Like, I must have done something because I, you know, built it with my co-founder and now it is here. Right. So I know how to talk about it. And it's just, you have to get over this hump, but you also have to just decide to learn the language. It's like learning code or deciding to learn you know, Polish because you're moving to Poland. I don't know. I've been talking about our Polish developers a lot.
I want to meet these Polish developers now, but I will tell you, it is part skill, right? Mm-hmm. Like in practice, like getting familiar with it, it is part confidence of like knowing that I believe in what I'm doing and I believe in what I'm telling you when you're giving that pitch. Do you know of any research? Again, I'm sorry I'm veering so far away from the actual like logistics of your business, but I do think this is fascinating. And I think our audience will enjoy hearing it because, you know, it's not a topic that we discuss openly very often in our industry. And so I'm captivated by it. But do you know of any resources out there to help entrepreneurs, maybe women entrepreneurs, gain more confidence or meet these angel investors or get more involved in this kind of stuff?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. So first of all, Sequoia Capital is a venture capital firm that is kind of like the golden standard. They do great deals. They are a great partner. If you can say that Sequoia invested in you, they have not invested in us, but if you can say that they have, that's kind of like a stamp of approval. They have some training and online manuals on like how to just like the basics, like starting from scratch, what this is, what this term is, like starting from a place where you don't have to feel embarrassed that you don't know. Like that's definitely helpful. Women's mastermind groups have been helpful to me before. I was in one. It was with the most amazing women ever. They are in very different industries than me. Like one was a physical therapist and one was a landscape architect, and amazing, amazing women. We're still in touch. I would say if it might make sense to get a little more aligned with like the industry that you're looking for in the future. Like if I look for more mastermind groups in the future, I might try to find people who also are fundraising or also in startups and also in paper or stationery or gifting. But just talking to other women, I have lots of friends actually who are female founders, and like Stephanie Kaplan from Pinch Provisions, just like in the last couple of months, has been an amazing mentor to me recently. When I live in St. Louis, because I split my time, my roommate here is a woman named Sarah Murth, who's the CEO and founder of her company, Artifox. They're a furniture company for like urban dwellers, and they're amazing. And just talking to other women who do this, like seeking them out and just trying to hear their opinion can be very cathartic, but also informative. So
absolutely. I'm in a mastermind group that is kind of a mix. We've got service-based businesses and product-based businesses, and we've got some people that do similar things to me, coaching. And I gotta say, like, all of us have our different strengths. All of us have the different like areas where we're trying to grow stronger. And I feel like we complement each other very well.
Yeah.
And it's also a very tight-knit circle in that we trust each other and we do share the nitty-gritty details that we might not share with other people, you know, numbers and insecurities and like the decision-making process and all that. So I do agree with you. Having that inner circle of people that you can really rely on is helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And then I know that there are lots of female-based organizations out there, and I would not do it justice to rattle them all off right now. There are lots of new co-working spaces that are popping up for just women. In St. Louis, there's one called Rise Collaborative. I think it's really cool. We have our office here and we're happy like in our own little space. But if you're just getting started, I think that makes a lot of sense to be surrounded by people who just are inherently trying to help. Locally, there's also a company called Brazen in St. Louis, and they are all about giving people, setting people up with mastermind groups, connecting people with mentors. They also have an accelerator program that they, like I think, award to five different companies a year or so with $50,000. So that's just in St. Louis, which happens to be the community I know the most about, but there's lots of other ones all over. And it just,
yeah, I love the idea of like looking locally and seeing what other kind of accelerators, incubators, or like smaller funding. I mean, honestly, for even 10, 20, 30, 40,000, like something small like that can really make a big impact on a small business and give you legs to move even faster on. So
that's how we originally got our legs, is from a local company called Arch Grants that they give non-equity dilutive $50,000 grants, which means like it's just free money for you if you agree to stay in St. Louis for 1 year. It's an amazing program for a lot of reasons, and they really did help us get our footing. And that $50,000 meant so much when we got it. Like, I mean, like it was a huge deal. And now we talk about raising $1.5 million. Nothing meant more than that first 50,000.
Of course. Of course. Oh, well, this has been fascinating. Two more questions for you. What do you guys have coming up at Greetable that you want to share and tell people about?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of cool stuff going on for International Women's Day and Women's History Month. We're partnering with all of our female vendors and going to be donating to a different charity every week the month of March. I'm really excited about that. And then, ooh, another cool thing that I actually haven't told anyone about, and I hope I'm allowed to, but I'm really excited about it. Are you familiar with the blogger influencer Cupcakes and Cashmere?
Mm-hmm.
So we are partnering with Emily from Cupcakes and Cashmere on a custom Cupcakes and Cashmere greetable for Mother's Day. And
so fun.
I'm so excited about it. The idea is really that it's for you to give to your friends who are moms, who maybe don't take time out of their day to have a me moment, or you're raising your hands. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, did I have lunch today?
Yeah. No, I mean, I personally am not a mother, but I have a lot of friends who are new moms, and I just like, I feel for them. There's so much that they're juggling, and it's, you know, I think it's a really nice concept to just be thinking about your friends who are moms and sending them something that's just a little moment of support. Their toddler might not be doing anything special for them that day.
Right. So that's very thoughtful. Yeah. That's very thoughtful of you. Yeah. I love that concept.
And she's
incredible
because the way that she wanted to work with us was that she wanted 20% of all sales from our collaboration to go to the National Women's Center. The National Women's Law Center, I think is what it's called, which helps women get established from, you know, all different walks of life who need a little bit of help. And that was her only want out of this collaboration. Like, I just couldn't have more respect for her as a human being. And she's going to make this really cute little care package for moms. And I'm just like, a year ago, I would have been like, that's like, she's like a hero. Like, I love her. And now we're working with her and it's like a dream. So yeah, that'll be coming in April.
Awesome. Well, where can people find your greetables online? Where can they follow you on social media? Where can they buy the gifts to give to other people?
Yeah, we're greetable everywhere. So it's actually G-R-E-E-T-A-B-L, no E at the end, which is just a fun little quirk about us. We recently did buy greetable with an E.com, so we finally have that. But
just in case.
Just in case, yeah. It just points to our website.
Just
right
redirect,
now.
Yeah.
So it's greetable.com, and then we're greetable on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, all that stuff.
Well, Zoe, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was really informative and fun, and I learned so much more about your backstory that I didn't know. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Katie. This is such a like fun moment to be bringing it all back after Trade Show Bootcamp back in 2014. So
I know it's been you've been a busy bee for the last 4 years. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks so much.
All right. I am hearing a ton of feedback from people that are struggling with things like cash flow, hiring help, or they're looking for new revenue streams to layer into their existing business model. Well, this summer, I hosted a live event that was specifically for our TSBC alumni to help them scale and strengthen their businesses. This program was called Paper Camp Plus, but what we talked about went way beyond the paper industry. PaperCamp Plus was built for anyone running a small business who wants to refine their business operations so that they're working smarter and not harder. This content was way too good to hoard to ourselves and the 30 people that were in the room. So we're bringing PaperCamp Plus to you in an on-demand format, and it's available now for you to enroll. You can watch all 7 videos in one swoop, or you can pick and choose programs based upon what you need help with right now. Our speakers included Tanya Dalton of Inkwell Press, Kristen Lay from Thimble Press, Amber McHugh, Raina Pomeroy, and Mary Beth Storjahan. We talked about building better systems, cloning ourselves so that we can get more done in a day, how to manage our money and save for retirement, licensing and collaborations, as well as real talk about fear and confidence. If you are struggling with any of these things, head over to tradeshowcamp.com and look for the Paper Camp Plus on demand. Or you can find the link here in our show notes too. But running a small business is not easy, and you don't have to go it alone. We have solutions and resources to help you get ahead. Join us at tradeshowcamp.com, then click on Paper Camp Plus to enroll. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them up-level, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.